Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus. As I and the godfather of Bulls podcasters, the great one, Doug Tonis, and I take out the big red shining bus, things look a little bit brighter this evening as the Bulls have won their third game. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm wondering if I'm already subconsciously on the tank bandwagon in my head, though.
Oh, don't go there. How dare you. Come on. I don't want to go there yet because I made this case, and correct me if I'm wrong. All right, so I tweeted this out, a poll. If the Bulls were healthy, what do you believe their record would be after 10 games? They're 2-8. Well, they were 2-8. Now they're 3-8. Without Lurie, without Valentine, without Dunn, or one game from Dunn, and very few games from Bobby Portis. What do you think the record would be?
It's hard to say, but I think they'd be probably 500. Right. Maybe a little over.
That's what
won. 5-5-6 right now.
That's what won. 36% said 5-5. 35% said below 500, and 29% said above 500. But I think it's entirely possible they beat Indiana. I think there's a good chance they're at least a little bit more competitive with Houston. They lost a lot. Detroit was a close game. They lost a lot of close games so far.
Yeah,
Denver. Denver too. You got to figure they'd win at least two of those. You know, so I think 5-6 or 5 or 6-5, you know, is right about where they would be.
My counterpoint to that is, let's say they're a 500 team, and you and I both kind of predicted before the season started, you know, they'd be around a 500 team. I think you were maybe a little over that, or like a game or two over, and I was a game or two under. But you know, I thought they'd be upper threes. And so now let's say that's how good they are. Let's just say, for example, they're a 500 team when everyone is healthy. If they only win 25% of their games until everyone is healthy, and then they're 500 afterwards, then in the low 30s.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of like the worst-case scenario. You're not going to make the playoffs. You're not going to get the good lotto pick. So, I don't know. That's why I'm almost like just geared up for the tank already. But I think the problem is, once everyone's healthy, you're not going to be able to tank. It's going to be like, even just playing all the young guys, you know, they're not going to like bench anyone who's good. So you're going to have a decent season once everyone's healthy. And so I think we're probably destined for that like mid to low 30s wins now with all these injuries, because I think it's going to take too much of a toll early in the season. But hopefully they're a little better than we think at the end of the season. Maybe they're above 500, and then we're still fighting for the playoffs at the end.
It's so funny you mention this, because I've kind of had this discussion with a few people where I believe it's going to mirror, I think, a lot of what happened last year. My hope, you know, where they were 3-20 last year, and then they go on a run when Nico comes back. Well, I think the cumulative effect of having Dunn come back and Markkanen come back and Valentine and Portis, you know, basically all at the same time, sure, there's going to be a period there where they have to get adjusted to each other. But just the sheer amount of talent coming back and putting, you know, guys that I think are complete bums like Holiday and, you know, just and even Felicio is getting major minutes. And it's just going to be, and Cameron Payne, having those guys sit the bench and upgrading the talent is just going to significantly improve the team. And I feel like if they can be 7-15, and I kind of predicted that at game 22 is when we should expect all these guys to be back. If they can be 7-15 and they go 30-30 the rest of the way, right? So that would be 37 wins. Is that enough to get the eighth playoff spot? To me, that's the worst case scenario if they're ninth. If they get in and they go 30-30 over the last 60 games, I think that's a good situation that, hey, you do have the core here of four guys. Hopefully Dunn performs well enough to say, yeah, he'll be a part of the core. And you go into next year with, you know, just basically needing to find one more position. What say you?
Well, I think you're giving me some hope. 7-15 seems like reasonable. I could see that. 30-30 seems reasonable. I could see that. So maybe you're bringing my hopes back up a little bit.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say is I think Holiday's actually played pretty well this year. I don't think it's fair to say he's been a trash player. He shot the ball excellently. I don't know what it is after today's game.
Well, it was
but going
night.
Into today. Yeah. He was 44% or 42% from the three-point line. I mean, in shooting like 7 threes a game. So I think Holiday has played well, and I think he's been a decent defender, you know, relative to some of the other guys. I think Archie Diacono, whom I know you love, has actually played very, very well.
Give me a break.
I'm not saying I think he could sustain it because he's a great player, but he's been solid positionally on defense. He shot the ball very efficiently overall. Assist turnover ratio is outstanding, like near 7-1. Always makes a smart play. Doesn't really apply pressure to the opposing defense.
No, he doesn't at all.
Athleticism. But for a backup point guard, I think he's fine. I think he's actually playing at an NBA backup point guard level. And Cameron Payne, I think, has been maybe a little bit worse than that, but so-so. I'm actually not necessarily convinced that Chris Dunn is going to come in and make a huge positive impact. I hope he does, but I'm just a little not convinced yet. You know, watching him so far, just in the preseason and his one game, not really shooting the ball particularly well, still just sloppy as hell with his dribbling and just turns the ball over too much. So we'll see. I'm very excited for Lowry to come back. I'm not sure how much difference the other three guys are going to make.
Well, I can't disagree more about Ryan Archie not in the NBA. I know he's had a couple really nice games. No doubt about it. He's played really well in a few games, and I often say that people kind of treat him like a couple overbearing parents treat a toddler. You know, like, look what Jimmy did today. Look, let's call Grandma and tell him about how Jimmy was able to use the toilet today. Like, people celebrate every little thing he does. He doesn't get guarded on the court. You know, he basically walks out there, and he doesn't make turnovers because he doesn't take any risks. He doesn't really do anything that really makes a difference in winning and losing. Guys have high turnovers. If you look at the top guys with turnovers in the league, they're all
superstars. What do you want with your backup point guard?
You're right. I want him.
You want a guy who takes you.
I don't think he's a great defender. Turns
the ball
over
tons of times, plays poor positional defense, and can't shoot the three.
I'd rather.
Yeah, we could throw Cameron Payne out there.
Cameron Payne shot the three much better than Ryan Archie not in the NBA has in his career. I understand Ryan's had a couple decent games. He was 0-1 tonight. He was a minus 10 when he was out on the court tonight. I think teams, when they figure out what Ryan does and they start paying attention
again,
to him,
he's going to be... point guard.
I don't think
he's better
than
treating
Payne.
Him like...
I'm going to say it right now.
His true shooting percentage was like 70%, which is like just great. Crazy elite.
Right,
he's not taking
time.
A lot of shots. But, I mean, he's taking all the shots. He never tries to do too much.
He's Lord of garbage
time. He's been a very, very solid contributor. I completely disagree. I think he's had a lot of games where he has helped lead the Bulls back in very key moments. And I think he's made plays on defense, and I think he's made plays on offense.
Yeah, well,
He's been very solid. I mean, for a backup point guard, I think he's played at a legitimate backup point guard level for an NBA team this year.
I think...
Not a starter, not a great player, but like a backup point guard is someone you come in and you just hope they don't lose the game for you. You hope they just kind of run the offense, get the ball to the right spots, do a decent job on defense, you know, make their shots when they have them, and he has done all of those things.
So when Dunn comes back, you want Ryan to supplant Campaign as the backup point guard?
I think right now, yeah. I'd say that.
Yeah, I know I'm on an island here. Fred's on the island again. I think Campaign has been unfairly picked on as a horrible player. I don't think he's horrible. He shot 38% from three last year. He won us the game this year. He's got that talent. If you want to go with strong and steady and just, you know, completely, mostly consistent play, that's fine. If you want to go with a guy who's a little bit more higher risk, Campaign's a little bit better answer. Regardless, they both suck. I don't think they're difference makers on a good team. I don't think any of those guys sees the court on a really good team. So I think we're kind
of... On a really good team, I don't know if any player on this team sees the court outside of Lowry, LaVine, and...
Wendell Carter Jr.
Carter Jr.
Lowry,
outside of those
LaVine,
are guys.
I think Dunn sees the court. Dunn absolutely is, at least in this league, a great backup point guard. You disagree with that?
I will see. As a backup point guard, I don't think you can turn the ball over and be as sloppy as Chris Dunn is.
He is
someone who needs to fix that. We'll see. I mean, it's hard to say. He made a huge leap from his rookie year to his sophomore year, and we've not got to see him play much.
I'm going
to quote
you.
I'm not happy with what I've seen him play so far. But I'm open to saying, yes, I hope Chris Dunn comes back and plays much better.
I'm going
to
quote
you. It's hard seeing the juxtaposition of Zach LaVine, who played like trash last year, came back, obviously worked out really hard, got in better shape, has played amazing. And then seeing Chris Dunn, who's come back and doesn't look so far, in very limited action, any better than he was last year, and maybe a little worse. Now, I will hope that he's much better when he comes back from injury.
Yeah, I'm going to quote you on the last Big Red Bus. We should probably give him more than one game before we bury him. So.
I'm not burying him. I'm just saying, yeah. Like, through preseason two, like, I didn't see it with Chris Dunn. So I hope that when he comes back, I will absolutely give him time. He's definitely the starter as soon as he comes back. But I worry that he's going to ruin the chemistry because he's going to start putting up a lot of shots. He's going to make a lot of turnovers. But I guess we have to find that out, right? We have to find out if him, Lowry, and Levine and Carter can work together as a unit. And we have to find that out because if they can't, then Dunn is the one who's out next year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I hope he is the answer there because my gosh, it's going to be so much more difficult if we have to find a point guard. I've made the case that I think we need a defense first point guard if Zach LaVine's going to be our shooting guard because of his defensive deficiencies. I think Dunn could be that if he's willing to really cut back on his shot totals. But you're right, he's got to be more careful with the ball. The reckless turnovers are an utter disaster. Let's go a little bit, though, to Wendell Carter Jr., who I thought started tonight with his worst performance possibly of his career. I mean, he was just awful in the first quarter. And everyone knows what a fan I am of this kid. And then he comes around, finishes with another strong game. In 22 minutes, he had 13 boards. He had 6 fouls, of course, because the officials like to, you know, just screw over the young guys in this ridiculous, yearly, every year, it's the same thing with the, for most of the rookies. They're just going to give him rookie calls. I'll never understand it. But he's really played well recently. What's your take on Wendell Carter Jr.'s improved play as of late?
Yeah, I got to agree with you. I think early in the season, maybe even last show, we discussed Wendell Carter was not having a particularly good start. But since then, almost every game has been like better and better. You've seen him play a lot more aggressively. Offensively, he's getting more shots up. His efficiency is starting to rise. He's not looking over his shoulder. He's getting more aggressive on the glass, more aggressive blocking shots. His passing has really taken off. They've started, maybe not like so much as passing has improved as much as he's had more opportunities. They've been running more offense through him, and he's gotten to show that off more. So everything you've seen from Carter Jr. over the past 4 or 5, 6 games has been just night and day from the first half of this, little block in 11 games the Bulls have had. So it's great to see his progression. And I think really when I watch him, he still looks like he hesitates a lot to me. Mm-hmm. And I think as soon as the game slows down for him a little bit, like second half of this season or maybe next year, then really he even has much more upside than he's showing now, which is really great sign for the Chicago Bulls.
Another kid, Chandler Hutchinson, who I think has been playing much, much better as of late, ever since they took him out of that insanely dumb role of starting as a 196-pound power forward. Ever since they put him off the bench, he's back to where he was playing, I thought, at a very good level for a rookie. 4 or 5 tonight against the Knicks with 8 points in only 15 minutes. First of all, I think defensively, he's already good. And I think he has another player on this team, Dunn and Wendell Carter Jr. being the other two, that have first-team or second-team all-NBA defensive potential. What say you?
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I think Hutchinson has been a lot better. He also got who didn't start the season very strong and really did nothing in the preseason either, and really, in my opinion, not a whole lot in summer league. But he also seems like he's finding his niche. We can say whatever we want to say about Fred Hoiberg and being a lousy coach, and I don't know that I think Hoiberg is great. But you got to give him at least a little credit, either by mandate from the front office or through his own volition or whatever. We are getting to see all the young guys play. We are getting to, Lopez has been banished, which is great. I mean, even Felicio getting minutes, as much as we don't like him, is some hope of propping up his trade value or seeing if he has anything that he can contribute.
Yeah.
So
he's played well for a Felicio scale, let's put it that way. I mean, he's surprised
He's been much better than he was. So, I don't know. I don't think he's good enough that we could trade him. But, I mean, he's much better than he was. He doesn't look completely hopeless. So we'll see how things go. He looks at least more motivated. I think actually being banished last year seemed to light a fire under him that getting that fat contract seemed to extinguish. And now he seems like, oh, maybe I should, you know, work hard. It looks like maybe even dropped a little weight to me. So we'll see. But I'm happy with that with Fred, not to skip over Hutchison so much. I'm happy with what I've seen from him. I think he still has a long way to go. I don't want to, like, put too much on him at this point. But, you know, very early on, maybe he is a potential to help fill in a void as a defensive small forward for this team and be out there in the starting lineup. If you have Carter, Markkanen, and Levine, and you don't need someone at your small forward position to take a lot of shots, if he can develop a consistent three and just be a 3-and-D guy, he could be a very, very solid starting niche player for this team. Not like a great starter, but someone who does exactly what they need, which is shoot the three and defend guys.
I do want to go back to a point you made earlier. Justin Holiday, I understand what his shooting numbers have been pretty good. I think they were overinflated.
Outstanding. Not pretty good. Really outstanding.
He was 2-of-10 tonight, so those numbers are going right back down in the toilet. And he played 46 minutes. He's not a great defender. That's the thing I will argue with. Anybody, again, tonight, I don't know what he was doing on that last play. I'm not going to point out one play and say he's a terrible. He's not a good defender. Over the course of his work, he's not a good defender. When Valentine comes back, I want to see Valentine Hutchinson at the three, and I want Justin watching a lot on the bench. I don't understand why he's playing so many minutes other than he's probably our only legit three right now. So that's I'll give it to Fred there. But when Valentine comes back, I want Valentine and Hutch sharing time at the three and Justin going back to watching the game. What say you?
I don't know. We'll see what Valentine does. I'm not so sold on that guy. He's been here 2 years. I mean, I think we obviously need to give him enough minutes to see what he's doing this year, see how he's playing, see if he's improved any. But I don't see Valentine as a long-term piece. I don't think he's someone you need to try and force feed minutes or see what he has or anything else. And I'm not convinced that Valentine's going to help this team more than Holiday is. That said, if we go with Valentine and he plays similarly to last year, I think it's fine. I don't think I think either of these guys are guys that are not part of the future, and nor do I think either of them are particularly special. I know you think Valentine is much better than I do and maybe much better than a lot of people, and I know you think he might be part of the future. Certainly has a better chance than Holiday. To me, Holiday at this point would be a guy that if we sign him to another deal at, like, 2 years and, like, $8 million total or something, you know, I'd be fine with that.
Oh,
be a deep bench player.
No, please, no. All right. Between your Valentine shots and the Holiday two-year contract, Doug, I'm fighting every urge not to pull the bus over and make you get out of here in the middle of the forest. I can't take it. But that's all right. Well, let's get off these two before I lose my mind. All right, let me get back on the road here. Let's go over.
How do you not like a guy who puts up 40% from the 3-point line at good volume?
It's not going to stay at 40%.
Who are you? What have you done with Fred? I mean, this is like exactly your type of guy.
Holiday's career field goal percentage is lower than Valentine's career 3-point percentage. There's no way.
Let's not talk about careers. Let's talk about what they're doing right now.
Let's talk about the career.
I guess Valentine hasn't played yet. So we'll see what Valentine does.
Yes, you're right. Let's get off these two. I want to go into Blakeney. Blakeney's, you know, another one of these guys where I felt like he's got one role on this team, and that's to be a scorer off the bench. And I don't understand everyone's urgency to put Parker in that role when I don't think Parker and Blakeney play well together. I want Blakeney to be the focus now with all these injuries at the second unit, and that's worked well. Everything I predicted has come true. What do you think of Antonio Blakeney and his future? And do you see him as a piece going forward for the beloved Bull?
Well, before the season, if you said, what do you think of Blakeney, I would have said he is not an NBA caliber player. And so far this season, he has shown that he is at least one of those guys. It's probably a terrible example. I don't know why I'm going into the way back machine. But the one I can think of is like Eddie House, the 1 year in Miami where they just brought him off the bench as like the 12th guy or like Gennaro Pargo. The guy you just would throw in there and, like, maybe he'd win you a game because he would get insanely hot and play really well. Like, so Blakeney, to me, strikes me as, like, one of these guys. Like, he can't defend, he can't pass, he can't do anything except score and shoot in bunches at times. But really, if there was only one skill that you could have in the NBA, only one skill that you could have, it would be that, right, to shoot and score. Like, that's the one thing. If you could do nothing else, but you can do that, you can still play in the NBA. So he has some type of role. To me, is he so valuable I'd want to pay him a lot of money? No, and neither do I think anyone will else. But he's worth a roster spot. I mean, if not with us, with someone else. If he continues to play at this pace, he's going to get definitely a roster spot somewhere. And, you know, if it sticks here, that's fine. But I will say this. When you're rebuilding, you don't worry about guys, and not to offend your senses again, you don't worry about guys like Valentine. You don't worry about guys like Blakeney. You don't worry about guys like Jabari Parker at this point, or even Bobby Portis. You worry about guys that are going to be in your core. And the rest of these guys, they're all replaceable. And so just don't overpay anyone. That would be what I feel about, like, all these other guys. Just don't overpay them. Figure out which guys, and even Dunn is, like, borderline in that group of, like, you're going to pay Dunn or not pay Dunn. But don't overpay these guys. Stick with the guys you know are going to be valuable pieces who can do a lot for you. And just know that you can turn around these other pieces on your roster really easily. Like, there's nothing special about these other guys. You know, if we keep some of them, it's fine. But don't go, like, don't fall in love with them, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I don't think he's part of the future. I have serious questions about Portis being part of the future. Obviously, Parker won't be. Out of this team right now, and correct me if I'm missing anyone else, LaVine is clearly proven already in 11 games. This guy's a piece. Wendell Carter Jr., Lauri Markkanen. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else on the team that you can absolutely say is a piece.
I think there's no one else you can absolutely say. Hutchison, just because he's a rookie, he'll be here for 3 more years. I don't know if he's like a core piece or an important piece, but he'll be here for a while.
Yeah, good point. Right. Those four.
Chris Dunn is the other next guy who maybe not. Yeah, see what he does when he comes back. This is really a prove it year for him, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Do you believe the Bulls are one game out of 7 seed now with today's win?
The East is amazing.
How do you like that? How do you like that map?
Maybe 37 is enough. We don't even need 500.
Maybe you're right. Maybe 37. Heck, 32 the way things are going. Maybe we hit Vegas, we'll be in the playoffs with 27 the way things are going, how bad this league is. It's unbelievable. I mean, the Knicks are a terrible team. Watching that team today and realizing we're missing 4 rotation players and we beat them on their home court, I mean, my goodness, that is a bad team. I want to go a little bit into the bigger picture of the league overall. What has surprised you the most, Doug? The Wizards, out of these three things, the Wizards, the Lakers, or the Cavs? Out of those three teams and their performance so far, I'll tell you what the records are as of today. The Wizards are 2-7, the Cavs are 1-9, and the Lakers are 4-6. Which one of those three teams has surprised you the most?
I'm not remotely surprised by any of those things.
Really?
I guess if I had to pick one, it would be the Wizards are the most surprising. I thought the Lakers just looked like crap on paper. I don't know why anyone thought they would do anything. It's like LeBron and a bunch of has-beens who can't shoot the ball. Like, we decided, no, we're not going to put shooters around LeBron this time. I don't know what you were thinking or why that you thought that would be a better idea. Is if the Cavs did this wrong the whole time and just got lucky beating Golden State, which was a miracle in and of itself. But they clearly had the right strategy to pull that miracle off and to get there. I think they've done a terrible job in L.A. of building around LeBron so far. Granted, it's all short-term contracts. They're going to have cap space. They're going to make things happen next year. I think even LeBron knows this is kind of like a throwaway year. But I don't think LeBron thought it would be this bad. I think he is so used to playing in the weak-ass Eastern Conference that he felt like he could just go to the West and just show up and make the playoffs. And now he's like, oh, wait, yeah, it doesn't work that way here. I can't just by myself, like, get my team somewhere in the West. Like, I think he just completely underestimated the task at hand there and felt like, yep, I'll lose to the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals or something, but the rest will be fine. He doesn't know that, like, wow, you know, actually the team that's like the 7th and 8th seed probably would have kicked my ass if I had to play them in the playoffs. But I never had to. I only had to play the best team in the West. I didn't have to go through all of them. Now he's getting that wake-up call. The Wizards, I mean, I didn't think they'd be any good, but I mean, maybe I thought they'd not be that bad. I don't know. Maybe I thought they'd have 1 or 2 more wins. I guess none of those things surprised me. Same with the Cavs. I thought they would be atrocious. We both talked about it. We both said the Cavs were probably one of the lowest talent teams in the league. So I can't say I'm shocked. I mean, I guess maybe I thought they'd win two games or three games by now, but I mean, I don't know. I don't find any of those things surprising.
I think this season has been so utterly fascinating so far with, you know, all the things going on with Jimmy Butler in Minnesota, all this stuff too. Let's touch on that really quick. Two things. Derrick Rose scored. We haven't got your opinion on Derrick Rose scoring 50 and get your take on that. And then also the situation with General Soreness, Lieutenant General Soreness taking every other day off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Butler's clearly trying to force a trade, and it's crappy. You know, I was kind of on his side. I was kind of on Butler's side saying, like, hey, look, he didn't want to go to Minnesota. He told him he wanted to be traded.
Yeah.
It wasn't his choice to go there. But then do your job.
Yeah.
You know what? They're still paying you. Do your job. I get maybe you don't want to be there. You told me you want to be there, but until you're not there, do your job. And he's not doing his job. So I'm not on his side anymore. Derrick Rose scoring 50. It's awesome. I mean, how do you not love that as a Bulls fan? Look, I was ready for Derrick Rose to leave when he left. I don't want him back. But it's a nice redemption story from the perspective of, you know, how many injuries he had and how many people completely wrote him off. And to come out and have a game like that, I mean, it's pretty special. There's a lot of other reasons why maybe I'm not so psyched about Derrick as an individual. You know, the pending legal stuff he's going through. But it's still, as a Bulls fan, if you can park all those other things at the door, it's kind of like a nice comeback story for him just because, you know, his career seemed like it was over. You know, it really did. And it shows the work he put in. And I don't know that he can keep it up or ever be a really good player again consistently, but it does show the work he put in. And that really, even though we always kind of felt like, oh, he's quitting on the team, he's quitting on the team, he really has been still trying and fighting and fighting and fighting, even with all the money he has guaranteed and not really being able to earn that much more money. Again, he's still just fighting to try and get back there. And so that, I think, you can appreciate as a fan.
Amen. Amen. And then I want to name, to wrap this up, first of all, what another great ride in the Big Red Bus. It's so good to have you back on again. I'm going to name a team, Doug, and I want you to tell me, as we're driving here, I want you to say, are the Bulls going to be better than this team next year, yes or no? Simple question. And you feel free to add any color you want. But I'm going to name the teams. Raptors.
Sorry, which team?
Raptors. Toronto.
Raptors, no.
If Kawhi leaves?
Yeah, I guess Kawhi probably will leave. Hmm.
I like maybe. The Bulls better than the Raptors without Kawhi. I'll say it right now.
You're right. Probably, yeah, probably yes. Kawhi probably leaves.
Get out of here, Kawhi.
Don't have a great way to replace him, so probably
LA's calling.
Yes.
Or Chicago's calling, even better.
The tricky thing about these questions is you don't know. You're like, we count on Kawhi leaving the Raptors, but we don't know who he's going to. So you tend to then overall underestimate the league, but we'll go on.
But he's not going. If Kawhi leaves Toronto, he's not going to the East. He's going back to
the
West.
He could go to Philadelphia.
He showed no interest in them at all, though. You're right. He technically could, but that would be.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, let's go on with the game.
Isn't this a good game? And there's a whole purpose to this. I'm setting you all up. Everybody's listening. Get ready.
I know. We're setting her up. The Bulls are the number two seed at the end of this, I think, is where it's going. But we'll try and get there and see what happens.
Bucks.
The Bucks?
Yeah.
No.
All right, I'll agree with you there. Celtics?
No.
Pacers?
Yes.
I agree. 76ers. 6-5, 76ers. 0-5
on the tricky one. Tricky one, because I've always felt the Sixers were overrated.
Agreed.
But I'm going to still say no until the Bulls prove that they're better than they are.
All right.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out a yes, but at this point, there's no way I can say yes with a straight face until, I mean, assuming everything goes wrong for the 76ers, everything goes right for the Bulls, and that's not a fair assumption set.
Hornets.
Yes. Better than Hornets.
Heat.
I'd have to say yes.
Pistons.
Yeah, I think I can maybe shorten this game and say I think it's yes to everyone else left.
There you go, Doug. There you go. That's all I'm saying. That's awesome.
I mean, really, yeah. I mean, I guess I should say, I feel like it'll be close with a lot of those teams. So it probably won't actually end up being yes to all of them, just because of the way it works out. But if I had to, like, gun to my head, pick a team, I think I would pick the Bulls over all of those other teams, besides the 76ers,
the Bucks, Celtics, and Celtics.
And who else do we name? There's
the
one other team.
The Bucks. The Raptors, if Kawhi stays, he's not staying. We all know it. What I'm telling you. It's going to be – see, even the Bucks are a one-man team. I mean, they're a one-man team. No, I'm not scared of anyone else on that stinking team. Middleton can be much more difficult
for
them.
How many men were on the Cavs that you were scared of?
Yeah, exactly.
It only takes one if he's like an MVP caliber player. And
that's a good point.
That's what the Bucks have. So, I agree. I think probably next year, much like this year, there's going to be a lot of parity after the top few teams in the East. And the Bulls should be right in the mix for that, like, 4-6 group. Now, we're assuming at this point that Markkanen comes back and plays really well, that Carter continues to progress, and that LaVine is just not a complete mirage. But if those things happen, this team could, I mean, they could easily challenge, I think, any of those teams. If those three guys figure out good chemistry together, play well, and the Bulls figure out a way to, either Chris Dunn is the answer, or they find another strong point guard somehow. And they'll have a lot of cap room.
Doug,
this team could be really dangerous next year.
I think we've lost focus, because here we are, we're standing 11 games in. It's been disappointing so far. But if we go back in time to the summer, we're all arguing, wow, we signed LaVine, give me a break. That's a bargain deal, the way the guy's playing right now. So
the value contract.
We've kind of lost.
We said this in the summer, to be fair to us. My quote on LaVine was, it's either going to be a terrible deal or it's going to be a great deal. There's pretty much no way that it's going to be a break-even deal. If we end up closing this season feeling like we have four core pieces, if Dunn pans out and Markkanen and LaVine and Carter all look like core pieces, that will be just an amazing, amazing outcome. If we get three and just Markkanen pans out and Dunn doesn't, that's still really an amazing place to start for next year. And so I think we have a lot of reason to be excited about where this bus is going.
You're right, though. Absolutely. As we pull it in the driveway, let's take a chance to pat each other on the back, because you and I were battling the Bambaites out there. There were a lot of them. You know, everyone listening knows who they were. I was questioning why they thought that he was a better option than Wendell Carter Jr. And I think already after 11 games, I've been proven correct on that, and you too.
Well, I think Bamba was and still is a guy people viewed as a project. So I don't think he's someone you can judge as quickly. I think everyone expected, even the people who wanted Bamba, expected Carter to probably be better out the gates. The one thing I'll say, though, is Carter is very young. Like, everyone seems to think he has no upside for some reason. Like, I don't know what it is with Carter. Because his game is so mature, people seem to feel like he's like a senior or something. But he's a freshman, and not only was he a freshman, he's like one of the youngest freshmen out of all of them. He's almost like a full year younger than DeAndre Ayton. But people just, for whatever reason, seem to feel like Carter doesn't have this upside that all these other guys have. So, which I think is crazy. If you have an even better skill set at a younger age, usually that would mean you'll continue to improve and refine your skill set more, not that you're just completely, capped out at 19. Odd thinking there.
Yeah. All right, my man. And we pulled in another successful long ride of the Big Red Bus. Halfway through, we had some problems with Valentine angst and your holiday love, but we got through it, and here we are again holding hands as we pull it in and celebrating. And another victory for the beloved Bull, 3-8. In another universe, everybody's healthy and we're 8-3, but that is not to be. But I feel good about where we're going, Lee. Two games out of that 7 seed to fulfill my prophecy.
I got to say, I'm always a little sad when the Big Red Bus ends. It's always so much fun to do the podcast. Hopefully,
agreed.
We'll be back on the bus soon.
Amen. And not only that, I'm sure everyone who's listening is very sad as we call it another day. But look on the bright side. This bus has a lot of gas left. It's brand new. Shining. And there's a lot of room. Right now it's just you, me, about four or five other people. I don't know who else is on this, but I think there's a lot of people that jumped off in the last couple of weeks. I know you've sensed that. At last Monday, are you kidding, against Golden State? The windows were crashing with people jumping off of it. You know what I mean?
That was a low point. But even though they lost the next three games, they're very competitive against very good teams.
That's all we want.
In all three. And you could see, like, you just felt like, man, if we just had, like, Lowry back, yeah, you feel like you could have beaten a couple of those really good teams.
Amen. All right, DT, as always, all the best to you, brother. Looking forward to another trip very soon.
All right, thanks.
God love you, brother. Take it easy, man.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.